Good morning. We are recording this morning. The previous two rumors and Yad Binyamin did not lend themselves to being recorded and disseminated. But this morning we'll be recording. So we're starting our four-week shiur. Thank you, Esther, for your hospitality. And even more importantly, thank you, Esther, for taking the initiative. Esther really wanted to have a text-based learning class, and so we talked about it, and I said I would do it if she would arrange it, and thank you for arranging and taking care of it.
My pleasure. It's kind of selfish.
So this is like an experiment in a way, because Esther wanted something, you know, long term, and we said let's try it in the summer for 4 weeks. So we picked Yirmiyahu because it's time relevant. So we're going to do a 4 week Yirmiyahu, and then if there is significant interest, I'm happy to start during the school year to do something else. In Chumash, we could take a Sefer, we could take a topic, whatever, you know, also text-based. So I don't know what your background is in learning Yirmiyahu and Tanakh in general, so I thought I'd start with just a general introduction to Tanakh. Actually, I'll take this one in the test for now. So this is a Tanakh. So the books that you would need for this course is a Tanakh and a Mikra Okazolot Yirmiyahu. It doesn't have to be these specific ones, but just to show you what they are, a Tanakh Shalim. Here's one. Adina has the Koren Tanakh, and Lisa also has the Koren Tanakh with the English in it. Yours probably doesn't come with all the writing on the slide that mine has, but I encourage you to mark it up. And this is a Mikra Okazolot of Yirmiyahu. We're going to be doing either three Perkim of Yirmiyahu or two from Yirmiyahu and a class on Eicha. We can discuss what the interest is in that. I can go either way. Okay, so you have in front of you, source number one is sourced from the Gemara Bava Batra, Yodalit Amud Bet to Tedbav Amud Av. Mikhtava. Gemara asks a question. There are 24 books in Tanakh. Who wrote them? Remember this?
That doesn't go back to high school.
Okay. Moshe Katav Sifro Uparchat Bilam Ve'Iyov. Moshe wrote his own Sefer. What's Moshe's Sefer?
Torah.
Right, Sefer Torah, which is five books of the Torah. I should write a piece of paper and, okay, like a little whiteboard here. Okay, there are 24 books in Tanakh. Tanakh stands for Torah, Nevi'im Ketuvim. Torah has five books in it. Nevi'im has eight books in it, one of the eight books being a lot of little books, and Ksuvim also has 11 books in it. So who wrote all of them? So Moshe wrote his book, which is the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and included in that is Parshat Bil'am, which we read last Shabbos. It's referring to Parshat Balak, because Moshe's not a character in there. It has nothing to do with Bnei Israel. It has to do with Bnei Israel, but it didn't happen in Bnei Israel, so how would you know? So who wrote it? Answer being Moshe wrote it. And Iyov. This Gemara, there are other opinions also about who wrote Sefer Iyov. Iyov is in Ketuvim, and this opinion says that Moshe wrote Sefer Iyov. Yehoshua Katav Sifro Ushmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. Yehoshua wrote his own Sefer, meaning Sefer Yehoshua, and the last eight Psukim of the Torah, the last eight Psukim, in which the death of Moshe is recorded. The only other person who was there who saw it was Yehoshua, so he recorded, he came down and he wrote the last eight Psukim in the Torah. Shmuel Katav Sifro V'Shoftim Berut. Shmuel wrote his own book, which is Sefer Shmuel. Shoftim and Rut. If you look, actually, do you have an extra pen? Now that you're running all over the place, thank you for the extra photocopy. Because I realized we should probably put down a list of all the books of Tanakh. That will make it a little bit easier for you to figure out who. Okay, now you can sit and relax. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have here, this is my blackboard. We have Torah, I'll turn it around, Nevi'im, just to have a list of the books. So Torah, what are the books of the Torah?
Reshit,
Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. Okay. Nevi'im is divided into two sections. It's not actually divided in here, but we could divide them into two sections, which will be relevant to our conversation today, to Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim. What are the Nevi'im Rishonim? Yehoshua, Shoftim,
Shmuel.
Okay, Shmuel and Malachim will leave not divided into Aleph and Bet, but we'll just leave them as whole books, Shmuel and Malachim. And then those in Nevi'im Rishonim and the Nevi'im Achronim. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Treyasar. And Treyasar has a lot of little books in it. Most famous one being the one that we read as the Haftorah on Yom Kippur Mincha, which is Sefer Yonah. Sefer Yonah is not a Megillah, by the way. The Megillot are in Ksuvim. The Chamesh Megillot are Rut, Esther, Shir Shirim, Echa, Kohelet, and then we have the Sifrei Emet, Aleph, Mem, Kaf. See that? Sifrei Emet, Aleph, Mem, Kaf, to the Mama, to remember, Yov, Mishlei, and Tehillim. And then we have Ezra Nehemiah, which is considered one book in the count of 24, Daniel and Divrei Hayyamim. Okay, so we're going through who wrote everything. Okay, so these are the 24 books of Tanakh. Who wrote everything? So Moshe wrote all of these. I'm going to check off as we do each book that was written. Moshe wrote 5 books, including Parshat Bilam and Iyov. Where's Iyov? Over here. Okay, Yoshua wrote his book, which is Yoshua. Right, and the last 8 Psukim in the Torah. Now we're up to Shmuel. Shmuel wrote his book. And what else does it say in the Gemara? He wrote 2 other books. Shmuel wrote Ruth and Shoftim. Why would the Gemara make that connection and say that Shmuel wrote Ruth and Shoftim? Where would they get that from? You can open into the beginning in your Tanakhim. You can open to the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. And you'll see that it doesn't say this book is written by Shmuel. It says in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, actually it starts with Yehoshua, and then Yehoshua's conquer, and Yehoshua dies, and the entire book of Shoftim deals with trying to basically find a replacement for Yehoshua, to find a new leader for the Jewish people. And it doesn't work very well. Who's the last Shofate who ever lived? All the way at the end of the Shoftim, the last Shofate who ever lived? List of Shoftim in there, the last Shofet who ever lived is actually born at the beginning of the next Sefer. Okay, because if you take like a little timeline here, we have Matan Torah over here, and then Bnei Yisrael are 40 years in the Midbar, right? And then they come into Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua. After Yehoshua dies, the next section you have is the Shoftim, the Tkufa of the Shoftim. What's the Tkufa, the time period, right after the Shoftim? Right? And who are the next leaders? What do we call them? We call them kings, right? They're Melachim. Who was the first Melach? Shaul. Who was the leader, the previous leader, who made Shaul Melach? Shmuel. So Shmuel was the last of the Shoftim. Okay? So it makes sense since Shmuel lived at the end of the Shoftim period, and he was the last of the Shoftim. It makes sense that he is the chronicler of the time of the Shoftim. Now turn to the beginning of Megillat Rut. It makes sense, therefore, that the chronicler of the Shoftim time period would be the one who would write Megillat Rut also. Am I telling you all stuff that you know? I apologize if I'm repeating stuff that you know. Okay, that's new. Great. If not, it's always good to have a good review. Okay, we continue in our Gemara. David Katav, Sefer Tehillim, Isaiah Sarah Zakenim. David wrote the book of Tehillim with the help and assistance of 10 Zakenim. Who were they? Al Yedei Adam Harishon, Al Yedei Malki Tzedek, Al Yedei Abraham, Al Yedei Moshe, Al Yedei Heman, Al Yedei Dotan, Al Yedei Asaf, Al Yedei Shlosha Bnei Korach. Okay, end of that section. Fine. Yirmiyahu katav sifro, the sefer melachim v'kinot. Yirmiyahu now wrote 3 books. Here, we had already because David doing to him. Okay, Yirmiyahu wrote 3 books. Yirmiyahu wrote his book and the book of the melachim, because Yirmiyahu was a Navi. Navi is now a different kind of leader that sort of emerges around the same time as you had Naviim that appeared along the way during the time of the Shoftim, but many of the Nevi'im that appear during the time of the Shoftim, the Parshim really call them Malachim. Are they Nevi'im? Are they Malachim? Like angel Malachim with an Aleph in it, what are they? But the function of Navi as leader shows up most prominently during the time of the kings, because the king is like the temporal leader, and the Navi is sort of the spiritual leader of the Jewish people. You have these two leaderships, the Moshe Aaron model, that Moshe, the Moshe temporal leader, is the Melech, and the Aaron, I mean, you have the Kohen Gadol, but you have the Navi is more, it's like the religious advisor to the king. At the end of the period of the Malachim, of the kings, what happens? The last event that happens in Sefer Malachim, the Churban, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, with the last king, and with that, the Malchut Yehuda is totally, is finished, is destroyed. The Navi of that time period was Yirmiyahu. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So it makes sense, again, Yirmiyahu living at the end of the time period of the Malachim, it makes sense that Yirmiyahu will write the book of Malachim. And the third book that it says Yirmiyahu wrote is Kinot. Kinot meaning lamentations, things that we say that were sad. It is the Gemara's name for Megillat Eicha. So we continue in the Gemara. Okay, Chizkiyahu v'siyato. Chizkiyahu was a king, we're going to talk about him today actually a little bit, a king who lived about 150 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Chizkiyahu v'siyato, he and his Beit Din, his helpers, wrote the following books. Kazvu Yeshayahu, Mishle, Shirashirim, v'Kohelet. So here we have Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu was a Navi that lived during the time of Chizkiyahu. Yeshayahu, what else was it? Mishle, Shirashirim, and Kohelet. Mishle, Shirashirim, and Kohelet, if you look at the beginning of them, are usually attributed to Shlomo HaMelech. It says in there that Shlomo HaMelech wrote them, but he wrote them, the Gemara explains that Chizkiyahu was the editor, that he kind of, along with, we're going to talk about today, some of the things that Chizkiyahu kind of unearthed some archived things. He found some stuff deep in the attic, Labriut, of the Beit HaMikdash, and one of the things that he found were these manuscripts from David, from Shlomo, and so he edited and published and made public these books from Shlomo. And we continue on Sheikh Knesset HaGdolah, we skip now Labriut.
Hi.
Several hundred years. From the time of Shlomo to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah existed at the beginning of the building of the second Beit HaMikdash. They were put together by Ezra, and they wrote the books Yechezkel, the Shneimasar, Chayasar, this book with the little, lots of little books, Daniel, Umegillat Esther. Those are all books that happened during the time right after the Churban by Sheni. So we have Chayasar, we have Yechezkel, we have Esther, and we had Daniel. Okay, we finish up.
Can you repeat the time period that those took place?
Those happened right at the end of the destruction, before right? Around the time, the end of the destruction, right before the beginning of the, right before the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash. Ezra Katav Sifro, Ezra wrote his book. That's pretty much what we have left, is Ezra and Divrei Hayamim. So he wrote his book, and he wrote Divrei Hayamim ad lo, until the word lo, or until he came to himself in Divrei Hayamim. It starts out with a lineage of saying, you know, he begat him, and he begat him, and he begat him, and until he got to Ezra, that's where he stopped writing. So that's just a general overview of the beginning of the books of Tanakh, of what's included in the books of Tanakh and what's not included. Examples of books that were not included in the books of Tanakh are Sefer HaShmonaim, Ben Sira, Yehudi. These were all written much later. Shir Shirim even made it in, like, just the private advocacy of Rabbi Akiva enabled Shir Shirim to be included. Okay. So now that you have the list of the books of Tanakh, now the question is, what order do you write them in? And how do you categorize them? And the big question, really, is in the Nevi'im. Do you categorize the Nevi'im chronologically or topically? That's going to be our big debate. Okay, you with me? Okay. So, the Gemara in Bava Batra, Yodalit, says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbi's thoughts, verse number 2. Sidran shel Nevi'im. Here's the order of the Nevi'im. Yoshua, Veshoftim, Shmuel, Umalachim. Those four are chronological order. Makes a lot of sense, but here's where we get stuck. Yirmiyahu, V'Yechezkel, Yeshaya, V'Shneimasar. Then you're going to list Yirmiyahu, then Yechezkel, then Yeshayahu, and then the 12 little guys. The 12 little guys are chronologically all over the map. And Yirmiyahu happened after Yeshayahu. I told you Yeshayahu happens a little earlier.
Yeah.
Before the ends of the Malachim. So what's going on here? Michtei Hoshea Kadim. Since Hoshea, which is the first of the Triassar, is first, Dichtiv tchilat diber Hashem b'Hoshea, because it says Hashem spoke to Hoshea first. That's why you're going to put Hoshea first within the 12 treyasar. V'chi im Hoshea diber tchila. What do you mean Hoshea was first? Asked the Gemara. Halomi Moshe bat Hoshea kama neviim hayu. There were many neviim between the time of Moshe and Hoshea. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan says shehayat tchila la'arba'a neviim shenitnavu b'oto haperak. No, Hoshea wasn't first. He was the first of four neviim who were chronologically the same, who all lived at the same time period. And who are they? Hoshea v'Yeshaya Amos u'Micha. Okay, so he's going to put all of Chagai Zechariah Malachi at the end because they were the ends of the Nevi'im. He's going to put Hoshea at the beginning because Hoshea was the first of a small group of Nevi'im who lived at the same time period, so they're going to put Hoshea first, and everybody else just kind of falls into place between the two of them. Why are they including all of them together? Because they're very little books, and he's afraid that they're going to get lost. The Gemara is afraid, the Chazal were afraid that it was going to get lost if they kept them separate books. Okay. Since Yeshayahu is earlier than Yirmiyah, Kadima Yirmiyah v'Yechezkel. Since Yeshaya is earlier than Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, Likadme liYeshaya bereisha. That's where they're putting Yeshayahu first. Kivan demalachim sofe chorbana v'Yirmiyah kulei chorbana. But since he said, you would think that since here we're going to use this. Oh, I have a pen here. Like a little. I get very animated when we talk about it. Okay. When we're looking at Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, okay, Yeshayahu is first chronologically, but we're not going to put Yeshayahu first in Tanakh after Malachim. Why? Because the end of Sefer Malachim is all about the Chorban. V'Yirmiyahu kulei Chorbana, and Yirmiyahu is talking about the Chorban. And Yechezkel, the beginning of it is talking about Chorban, the end of it is talking about Nechama, that nice Nebuot. And Yeshaya is all about Nechama. Therefore, Samchinan Chorban al Chorban al Nechamta al Nechamta. Even though the chronological order, says the Gemara, would be Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, that's how they would do it. But topically is how we think it should be arranged. So therefore, since the end of Malachim is talking about the Chorban, this is the end of our chronological story. So we're going to now topically add on Yirmiyahu, which is all Chorban, then Yechezkel, which starts with Chorban and ends with Nechama, and then Yeshayahu, which ends completely with Nechama. Explaining to us also, making very clear that there is a strong stylistic difference between Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim. And this is something that's important for us to remember for this series. Learning Nevi'im Achronim is like learning advanced literature in a foreign language. That's what the Nevi'im Achronim are all about. That's what a parent of a 10th grader said to me 10 years ago at back to school night. You're teaching her advanced literature in a foreign language. I said, yes. The Nevi'im Rishonim are stories. It's the chronological situation. What's going on? You know, who were the kings? Were they good? Were they bad? What was their relationship with Hashem? What was their relationship with the Jewish people? The Nevi'im Achronim are Nevuot. Are the speeches these guys said when they got up in front of everybody and says, you have to do tshuva, or Mashiach is coming, or whatever it was that they said, that's what the Nevi'im Achronim is. So the Gemara says that since it's Nevuot anyway, and it's not a chronological story, let's put it in by topic. But if you look in your Tanakhim, it's not. It's Yeshayahu. It's put chronologically. It's Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and then Treyasar. So how did that happen? Look in source number 3. This is the Radak's introduction to Sefer Yirmiyahu. Radak was a medieval Provençalian. Right. Thank you, Rav David Kimchi. Zeh Sefer Metzanuhu Mesudar B'Sidran Shal Nevi'im Achar Sefer Yeshayahu. He says, this book, Yirmiyahu, I found it, and when you look in my Tanakh, it appears after Yeshayahu. B'chein katafti perusho achar perush sefer Yeshayahu. And so therefore I wrote the perush for sefer Yirmiyahu after the perush for sefer Yeshayahu. B'afal pi she'inam mesudarim kein b'divrei rabotenu zechonam levracha. But this is not the order the Chazal said it should be in. She'amru sidran shal nevi'im Yehoshua shoftim shua malachim Yirmiyah Yecheskel Yeshayah Treyazar. That was the order they gave. Not new time. The reason that they gave was kevan zemalachim sofei charbana v'yirmiyahu kulei charbana. Since malachim, the end of it talks about korban, yirmiyahu is all about korban. V'yecheskel sofei nechemtan. The end of Yecheskel is talking about nechama. V'yeshaya kulei nechemtan. Yeshaya is all about nechama. So therefore, some ich korban ala korbana v'nechemta nechemta. They arranged it topically. Apal pichein. Even so, b'chol hasfarim tovim asher ra'inu, in all of the good books I ever saw, she'nechtavu b'sfarad, that were written in Spain, mikama shanim, for many years already, sidram lefi zmanam, they're written chronologically. Yeshayahu kozim le'yirmiyahu, kamo shekatam zmano lezmano, v'chin yirmiyahu kozim le'yecheskel. U'b'shneim asar, and for triasar, shu achreichin hishvu, im seder rabotenu zechonam lebracha, אַפֿאַל פֿי שיש בֿעם נביים קידמו לירמיהו ויחזקאל, לפי שדבו אתן קטנה לא כתבו כל ספר וספר לבד, כדי שלא יאבד במהותו. כמו שאמרו רבותינו זכרונם לברכה, איירי דזוטר מרחס. And so we're afraid that they're going to get lost because they're such little books. So Treyasar is always written, it's always like stuck there in the end, and they're all mixed together, even though chronologically they're really all over the place, and some of them belong before Yeshayahu, but again, like we said before, we're afraid that they're going to get lost. V'nechtemu, v'nechtevu nevi'u'atam, b'sefer achad im nevi'ah chagai zecharia malachi, shayu nevi'im acharonim. So they're all put together, and they're put at the end, because chagai zecharia malachi are chronologically the last. So what does Radak say? I know it's not the order the Chazal say, but this is what we have. So much ish, exactly. Who decided in the end the order of the books in Tanakh? The printer. That's what happened. Interesting little. Okay, so now let's talk about the time period. If you open your Tanakhim to the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, please. Sefer Yirmiyahu is in Nevi'im Achronim, after Yeshayahu. And the Sefer, the one thing that is interesting about, well, at least Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu does it, Yechezkel doesn't really.
I want to copy a bit
of this page of my messy
notes.
Yeah. Yechezkel doesn't really do this, so, well, he does it a little bit actually, also. The beginning of every sefer, almost every sefer in Nevi'im Achronim, tells us who wrote the sefer, who said the sefer, and when he lived in the time period. So it's important for us to understand, in order to put Yirmiyahu's nevuah in context, I'm not doing any nevuah today. My idea today was simply to deal with the place of Yirmiyahu in Tanakh and the place of Yirmiyahu in our history. What was going on in Bnei Israel, actually, technically, in Bnei Yehuda, at that point in history. So when did Yirmiyahu live? Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. We know a little bit about Yirmiyahu from this pasuk. These are the words of Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu. Min ha-Kohanim asher ba'anatot be'eretz Binyanin. He was part of the Kohanim family that lived in Anatot, which was in Eretz Binyamin. So he was not part of Shevet Binyamin, but his family lived in the Nachala of Shevet Binyamin, because remember, Shevet Levi, of which the Kohanim were part, had no Nachala of their own. So they had little cities or outposts or whatever among the other Shvatim. Asher haya dvar Hashem elav bimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda. That's when Hashem started giving him nevuah. B'shlosh esrei shana l'malko, in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu's reign. V'hi bimei Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda. This is a strange kind of formulation. It seems that he has two periods of nevuah. That one he started during the time of Yoshiyahu, in the 13th year of Yoshiyahu, and then some event happened during the time of Yehoyakim, who was Yoshiyahu's son, Melech Yehuda, and he became again a Navi, ad tom eshtei esrei shana letzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, all the way through to the end of the kings, Tzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, ad galut Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha-chamishi, until the galut of Yerushalayim in the fifth month, starting from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. The fifth month being Chodesh Av. So this is the section that we're going to focus on this morning in Yirmiyahu, is just these first three psukim that give us a historical background. Okay. Now, let's talk about, just briefly, history. Do you remember what happened when David died? Who became the next king? Shlomo, right. And then Shlomo died. Remember when Shlomo died, who became the next king? Do you remember what happened? It was like a... Right. So problems started. When Shlomo died, Shlomo had many children. And the question was, who was going to be the next king? So Rehoboam was the natural next king, who was Shlomo's son. But he kind of listened to his friends who told him, because he had this big debate, do I start with high taxes and show them who's boss? You know, because he was like Shlomo's son. That must be a lot of pressure to be Shlomo's son. So he said, do I start with high taxes and show them who's boss and then like even out a little bit? Or do I ease them up and start nicely, like stroking B'nai Israel, well, B'nai Yehuda, well, B'nai, at that point it was everybody. So do I start, you know, just nicely and raise taxes slowly? So the older, more experienced advisor said, raise taxes slowly. But he listened to his friends who said, show them who's boss. And so he decided to show them who's boss. So there's a whole group of the Jewish people who were like really not into this and not happy. Combined with a nevuah that was also going on in the forest on the side, where this guy named Yerobam ben Nevat was chosen also to be a king. So you have this group of people who are unhappy with Rehoboam ben Shlomo, and Yerobam ben Nevat was told by a Navi that he's going to be king. So they kind of latched onto that, and the kingdom split at that point. Completely. Where Yehuda and Binyamin are Yerushalayim centric, that's the kingdom of Yehuda, and then you have Malchut Yisrael, which are the other 10 Shvatim, and their capital is not Yerushalayim. It's in the Shomron, it's the city of Shomron, and it's in the, that becomes the place of the Asarat HaShvatim. So, and then as you go through Sefer Melachim, the rest of Sefer Melachim from that point, it goes back and forth. Meanwhile, back in Malchut Yehuda, and meanwhile, back in Malchut Yisrael, this is what was going on. Until Malchut Yisrael finally gets exiled, because you have this, really, like, I should have brought a whiteboard or something, because I need to, okay, I don't want to donate another paper to my, okay, thank you. Okay, so here's our region. Here's Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm bad at maps, but okay, sort of. This is really okay. Here's Eretz Yisrael. Okay, here's Mitzrayim. Here is Ashur. Like here, this whole area over here is Ashur. Ashur is Assyria. Ashur was the major superpower of that time. Eretz Yisrael being where it is, there was always a struggle between Mitzrayim and Ashur of who's going to be in charge of Eretz Yisrael. That struggle continues throughout history. That's how the Hanukkah story happened, because they were caught again in that struggle of who's going to get Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, or the reigning kingdom, whoever's up here. Okay, so Ashur keeps trying to creep in and creep in and creep in. Finally, they creep in and take out a whole chunk of the Jewish people, which is the Aseret HaShvatim. That happens in Malachim, thank you, in Malachim Bet Perek Yud Zayin. It's the Galut Aseret HaShvatim. Right after the Galut, during the time of the Galut, the person, if you'll turn to Malachim Bet, I'm like doing some skimming and we're going to do some Sukkim also inside. Malachim Bet Perek Yud Chet is where we're going to start. Hoshea ben Ela was the king of Israel at the time when they were exiled. And he was the king of Israel. And the king of Yehuda at the time was Chizkiyahu. Now, one of the things that Malachim Bet will do is every time a new king shows up, they'll tell you how old he was when he ruled, how long he ruled for, who his mother was, and if he was good or not, if he followed in Hashem's ways or not. So here we have Chizkiyahu. Ve'yihi b'shnat shalosh lehoshea ben Ela melech Yisrael melech Chizkiyahu ben Achaz melech Yehuda. How old was he when he became king? Ben 25 shana haya b'malcho. Ben 29 shana. I'm in Malachim Bet Perek Yud Chet. Right where you were on your, yeah, a little more. 18.
Okay.
From the beginning. So it was in the third year of Hoshea ben Ela, and Chizkiyahu ben Achaz becomes the king of Yehuda. Ben Esrim v'chamesh shana haya b'malcho. He was 25 when he became king. Esrim v'teisha shana malach Yerushalayim. He ruled for 29 years. V'shem imo avi bat Zechariah. That was his mother's name, because we already know his father's name was Achaz. He was the previous king before him. Be'az ayashar b'nei Hashem k'chol asher asad David aviv. Was he a good king or a bad king? He was a good king. He did mitzvot, and he, right, who he seared habamno, v'shiber tamatzivot. He destroyed all the bamot, and Israel were like bringing these just random korbanot wherever they wanted to, and he destroyed all of those random mitzvot. Fine, and he was a really good king. And then if you skip down to pasuk tet, any of the skips that I would do, that I'm doing here, are going to be like to the beginning of the next paragraph. So you see how there's a big space in there. Do you have a space or a pay or a samach or something in there? That would be a pay. At the end of Pasuk Chet, is there a pay in your Tanakh? At the end of Pasuk Chet, there's nothing? It just goes from Chet to Tet?
Space.
Okay. So in yours, there's a space, but in theirs, there's not a space. So it's harder to follow in there, in that one. Okay. Pasuk tet vayhi b'shana ha-revi'it l'melech Chizkiyahu. What happened in the fourth year of Chizkiyahu's reign? Ruhu ha-shana ha-shvi'it l'Hoshea ben Ela, which was the seventh year of Hoshea ben Ela, melech Israel. Allah Shalmaneser, melech Ashur, al Shamron v'yatzar alaham. Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur, puts a siege around Shamron, v'yol kaduha, mikse shalosh shanim. It took him 3 years to capture it. And in the sixth year of Chizkiyahu's reign, which was the ninth year of Hoshea melech Israel, nilkada Shamron, and then b'nei Israel were exiled to Ashur. Malchut Yisrael, the Yisrael Hashpatim, were exiled to Ashur. That's what happens in the sixth year of Chizkiyahu's reign. Now, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, you'll see that then Ashur wasn't content in simply taking Shamron, and he wanted to try to move over into Yerushalayim also, and Malchut Yehuda. And in the 14th year of Chizkiyahu's reign, he comes and he camps outside the city, and Chizkiyahu gets a little bit nervous, and he starts doing more tshuva, and he gives money, and then he, then they have this whole interaction on top of the walls, back and forth, this whole conversation. And basically, Hashem saves Bnei Israel at that point from the Assyrian army. They're saved from the Syrian army. So we move further on. We see if you look in Perek Yud Tet Pasuk Chav, the Navi that Chizkiyahu is consulting at this time. Perek Yud Tet Pasuk Chav, the Navi that Chizkiyahu was consulting at this time is Yeshayahu. Okay, so this is, we're still during the time of Yeshayahu. Look at the beginning of Perek Chaf. Chizkiyahu gets so sick that he's about to die, and again he calls Yeshayahu. Finally, at the end of Perek Chaf, Chizkiyahu dies. One of the things Chizkiyahu did, it's in Pasuk Chaf, the end of Perek Chaf. All the things that Chizkiyahu did are written, he's going to say that they're written somewhere else, but what are the things that he did? The pool and the canal, he brought the water into the city. This is, I'm sure you've been to Warren Shaft, and I mean they've expanded it since then. It's like a whole, you can go in Yerushalayim and see the whole water system that Chizkiyahu put in, Chizkiyahu's tunnel, you can go there, this is Chizkiyahu. And this is what he did. And here's where things start getting sticky with Menashe. Because Ashur realizes that the only way that they can just like Bilam, realizes. The only way they can get Bnei Israel is if Bnei Israel starts sinning. So Ashur put this terrible demand on the king of Malchut Yehuda and say, you have to start promoting Avodah Zarah. And the king is Menashe. He's very young when he becomes king. He's 12 years old when he becomes king. He rules for 55 years. His mother's name was Hefzibah. Feel bad for her, given what her son did. Look in Pasuk Bet of Perek Chaf Aleph, Vayas hara b'nei Hashem, not just that, ki to'avod ha-goyim asher harish Hashem ipnei b'nei Israel. He did like all the disgusting abomination stuff. You know, the horrible things that Hashem, you know, of the nations that they took over their place, and he built Mizbachot for Avodah Zarah, he brought his child through the Molech, he killed Nevi'im, he did everything. Anything bad you could possibly think of, that Menashe could have possibly done, Menashe did. He killed innocent blood. Pasuk Yud Zayin of Perek Chaf Aleph. V'yeter divrei Menashe v'chol asher asah v'chatato asher chata. In other words, this is what they know about him, is that all the sins that he did, they're all written, halo hi b'ksubim ha-sefer divrei yamim l'malchei Yehuda, they're written in the divrei yamim book of Malchei Yehuda. V'shkav Menashe im abatav, he dies, v'kavir began beito, began Uzzah, v'imloch Amon b'no tachtav, who becomes the next king? His son Amon. Amon is a good king or a bad king. Look in Pasuk Chaf.
Harab
in Hashem, really not good. So we're heading into a down spiral until we get to Perek Chafet. Amon dies. He was killed. Actually, go back for a minute before Perek Chafet. Sorry. Back to Amon. Pasuk Chaf Aleph of Perek Chaf Aleph. Vayilich b'chol ha'derech asher alach aviv v'yavodut ha'glilim asher avad aviv v'yishtachu lahem. He did all this avodah zarah. V'yavodut ha'shem elokei avotav v'lo halach b'derech Hashem. He did not follow Hashem's ways at all. V'yikshiru avdei Amon alav. His servants rebelled against him. V'yamitu tamelach b'veito. They killed him in his palace. They killed the king in the palace. V'yach am ha'aretz et kol ha'koshrim al ha'malach Amon. Then this group comes up of the am ha'aretz, which it's unclear who they are. It seems that they might be, it seems that they were comprised of some kind of merchants or some people who had a different agenda in mind. Go now and kill the people who rebelled and killed Amon. Out of intrigue, right? They amlichu am ha'aretz et Yoshiyahu b'no tachtav. Who do they make king? Yoshiyahu, Amon's son. Because they're afraid that these rebels who killed Amon are going to put somebody else like Amon religiously on the throne. So they kill the killers, and they put Yoshiyahu on the throne. How old is Yoshiyahu when he becomes king? He's 8 years old, and he rules for 31 years. His mother's name was Yezidah bat Adayah mebatzkat. That's where she came from. Vayas hayashar beinei Hashem. Vayelech b'chol derech David aviv v'lo sayer minu shmol. We're back on track. We now have a really good king. Vayhi b'shmonasar shana lemelech Yoshiyahu. In the 18th year, he does something significant. 18 years go by and nothing is recorded. Here you finally have a good king after Menashe and Amon, and nothing is written about this king until the 18th year. From age 8, what's 8 plus 18? 26. Okay, till he's 26 years old, you have nothing, which is unusual. Do we know? So we look now to fill in the blanks that are in Sefer Melachim. We turn to Divrei Hayamim Zeh, but don't give up your place in Melachim. Hold it with your finger, and turn to Perek Lamed Dalet in Divrei Hayamim Zeh.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
We're in Divrei Hayamim Zeh. Perek Lamed Dalet. Keep your good. Keep your mark there.
I'm not sure where that is.
Divrei Hayamim Zeh is all the way to the end. Chronicles. There you go. Chronicles 2, Divrei Hayamim Zeh, Perek Lamed Dalet. There won't be this much flipping in the rest of the classes. We're just trying to get a historical overview here. Okay. Ben Shmona Shanim Yoshiyahu b'Malcho, he was 8 when he became king. U'shoshim v'achat shana malach Yishlaim, he rules for 31 years. V'yas hayashar b'nei Hashem v'achu b'darchei David aviv v'lo sayar min ismol. Those are good things. U'vishmona shanim l'macho. So we have something now a little bit earlier to give us a sense of what kind of king he was before. V'hu odenu nar, he's still a young man, he's 16 years old. Hechel lidrosh elokei David aviv. He already at that point, he felt some kind of she'ifa, something that drew him toward Hashem. And he started learning. U'v'shtemesrei shana hachel l'taher et Yehuda v'Yerushalayim min habamot v'asherim v'hafsidim v'masechot. And in the 12th year of his reign, which means when he was 20, he started now removing all of the bamot and those extra mizbachot that his father and grandfather reinstituted. So now go back to where we were in Melachim Bet. And we have this extraordinary story that he realizes in the 18th year, he says, go to the Kohen Gadol. We've been having they've been collecting money every year to take care of the Beit HaMikdash, and it just kind of goes into this coffer, and they were never using it, really. So he said, it's time to clean up the Beit HaMikdash. And they went in, and they cleaned up the Beit HaMikdash. The person who he sends in is Shafan ben Ataliyahu ben Meshulam HaSofer. Shafan, which was from this family of Sofrim, we're actually going to encounter Shafan in a few weeks. If we do Echa, we will encounter Shafan again. And his, at least his descendants. And so he sends Shafan in to clean up, and Shafan comes and he finds a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah is open to a specific place, and they don't know what it means. So they bring it to Huldah. Huldah was a Neviah. Look down in Pasuk Yudalid. Vayelech Hilkiah Kohen v'achikam v'achbor v'shafan v'asiyah el Huldah ha-Neviah. They bring it to Huldah the Neviah. Eshet Shalom ben Tikva ben Chachas Shomer ha-Begadim. V'hi yoshevet v'yushalayim v'mishneh v'yidabru elaha. They speak to her. V'tomer alayim. Here's what she says. Pasuk said, V'komar Hashem elokei Yisrael. This is what God said. Imru la'ish asher shalach etchem elai. Tell this to the person who sent you to me. V'komar Hashem. Hineni mevi ra'a al hamakom hazeh v'al yoshvav. Bad things are going to happen to this place. Et kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda. All, everything that you're reading here, it was open, the Sefer Torah was open to the Tochacha. And says, everything that you're reading here is going to happen to you. Tachar asher azavuni, because you left me, v'yikashru le'elohim achirim, because you brought korbanot to other gods, Laman hachiseini b'chol ma'aseh yadehem, you made me angry with everything you do. V'nitztach hamati b'makom hazeh v'lo tichbeh, my anger will just totally consume this place. V'al melech Yehuda hashalech etchem l'drosh et Hashem ko tomu elav. This is what you should say to him. Because you are heading in the right direction, this will not happen in your lifetime, but understand that it's going to happen. So Chizkiyahu now... Yoshiyahu goes into this now major like tshuva campaign. This destroy every vestige of Avodah Zarah campaign, and he goes into houses and he finds all this stuff and he destroys things, and the listings of Avodah Zarah here are listings that you would never imagine. Like, you can't even imagine. I encourage you to read it at another time to realize how all pervasive Avodah Zarah was in their lives. And then move now to Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and we have an amazing event. Kim b'shmoneh rei shana l'melech Yeshayahu nasa ha-pesach hazeh l'Hashem b'Yerushalayim. Now all of a sudden, in the 18th year of Yoshiyahu's life, they make Pesach. When they haven't made Pesach for many years before, and they clean up the Beit HaMikdash, and they bring the Korban Pesach, it's like Hanukkah story, but hundreds of years before. They bring the Korban Pesach, very nice. Then we get to the end of Perek Chav Gimel, and we see that all of a sudden international pressures are rising. And Ashur and Mitzrayim are really at odds against each other. And Mitzrayim is on its way through Eretz Yisrael. He just like marches through Eretz Yisrael to go to Ashur. And Yoshiyahu is like, excuse me, this is my land. And so he goes to greet, to fight against Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, and he gets killed. And they bring him back to Yerushalayim. And they bury him, and his son, Yehoahaz, becomes king. But Ashur is still like waiting in the wings, and they're waiting for their opportunity to pounce. Look at Yehoahaz's reign. It's Sizen Pasuk Laman Aleph. He's 23 years old. He rules for 3 months in Yerushalayim. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem, pasuk lamed bet. I'm in Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk lamed bet. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem chol asher asu avotav. Everything that Yoshiyahu did was totally lost. Vayasrehu paro necho b'rivla b'eretz chamat. Now remember that his father had been coming to make war against Paro, who was just kind of traipsing through his land. But he came to make war against Paro, so Paro takes the next king and imprisons him. And he puts his own king on the throne. Can I use your paper again? Thank you. So we have Yoshiyahu is the king. Yoshiyahu dies. His son Yehoahaz becomes king. But Paro Necho puts him in jail and makes another king, another son, whose name was Yehoiakim, king instead. He puts Yehoiakim on the throne. Now it's still a Yoshiyahu child, descendant, right, but he's there because Paro put him there. Okay, and he changed his name. By the way, his name was Lokim Pasuk Lamed Dalad Ve'amlech Paro Necho Et El Yakim Ben Yoshiyahu. His name was not Yehoyakim. His name was El Yakim, and Paro Necho changed his name to Yehoyakim. In other words, it's not a mashmauti change at all. It doesn't change the meaning of the name from El Yakim to Yehoyakim. It means the same thing, but it means I'm in charge of you. Like, the king, just the fact that Paro changed his name, even though the meaning doesn't change, you know, it shows who's boss, right? They changed his name, and then they brought Yehoahaz to Mitzrayim, and he dies. So Yehoyakim now has to pay taxes to Paro Necho. And so Yehoyakim becomes king. We think maybe we'll have a good run this time, but at the beginning of Parachav Dalet, the end of Parachav Gimel, Bayasa Rabbeinu Hashem Kol Asher Asu Avotav, no such luck. And during his years, Biamav Ayalavu Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, Vayhilo Yehoyakim Eved Shalosh Shanim. So he's paying taxes to Paro, and while he's paying taxes to Paro, Ashur, by the way, in the meantime, has changed hands, has been conquered by the Bavlim, and the new king is Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar now is coming in to Eretz Yisrael. So you have Yehoyakim kind of stuck in the middle here between Mitzrayim and Babel. And this begins the downfall of the Jewish people. And all Vayishlach Hashem Pasuk Ve, Vayishlach Hashem Bo Et Gedudei Kazdim, Hashem is sending. The Navi is telling us very clearly why this is happening. Hashem is sending these enemies. Hashem asher ziber biyad avadav hanaviim. Ach al pi Hashem hayta biyudah lahasir me'apanav v'chatot Menashe k'chol asher asah. Because of all the things that Menashe did, that's why this is happening, and Hashem will not forgive them. Pasuk hey v'yeter dibei yo yakim v'chol asher asah halom tuvim al sefer dibei yamim l'ocha yudah. Vayishkav yo yakim me'avotav, he dies, v'yimloch yoho yachin b'no tachkav. Yoho yachin, his son, becomes the king after him. Velo hosif od melech Mitzrayim letzeit me'aretzo, ki lakach melech Bavel minach ha-Mitzrayim ad nahar prat kol asher hayta le-melech Mitzrayim. So Melech Bavel now has overtaken. Melech Bavel is now in charge of the entire area. Ben 18 shana Yehoyachin b'malcho. Yehoyachin is 18 when he becomes king. U'shlosha choreshim malach Yerushalayim. We can imagine that the same kind of thing is going to happen to him as happened to Yehoahaz. At that time, Allah avdei Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel Yerushalayim b'tavo ha'ir b'matzor. Now is the time when Yerushalayim is put into a siege. Vayavod Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel al ha'ir v'avadav tzarim aleihem. He comes to the city. Yehoyachim comes out to greet him, and melech Bavel takes him captive. And he steals all the money from the Beit HaMikdash. And he starts the first phase of exile. He exiles, as you see in Pasuk Yadalid, Vihigla et Kol Yerushalayim, et Kol Asarim, et Kol Gibarei Achayel. He exiles all of the leaders. And the only ones who's left, as you see at the end of Pasuk Yadalid, is Lo Nishar Zulat Dalat Amar. It's the only people who are exiled are the poor people of the land. The most famous exilee of this exile was Mordechai. If you remember from Megillat Esther, you don't have to remember, you can look, that when it talks about Mordechai, Asher Hagla Yerushalayim, Im Hagola, Asher Haglata, Yechania, Melech Yehuda, Yehoyachin and Yechania are the same person. That's from this Galut, Mordechai comes, just to put it in historical context for you, what's going on. So Melech Bavel exiles Yehoyachin with them, with all of the leaders. Only the poor people are left. He brings them to Bavel, and who does he make instead? King Matanya Dodo. Matanya, his uncle, it seems that there was another brother, Yoshiyahu had three sons. Matanya is the third one now who's made king, and the Melech Bavel totally changes his name from Matanya, thank you, to Tzidkiyahu. He completely changes his name to Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is king. He was, you see, his mother's name was Chamutal Bat Yirmiyahu, the same mother that Yehoahaz had. He was the full brother of Yehoahaz. V'yazhara b'nei Hashem. And it was during his time that the destruction of Yerushalayim happened. As you could continue reading, the actual destruction when the actual destruction comes, Sidkiyahu literally runs out the back door as they are coming with their torches to torch the king's house. Sidkiyahu runs out the back door, tries to escape, and the Bavlim catch him and blind him and bring him to Yerushalayim. And this is the time period that Yirmiyahu was living in. He was living at a time when he came in during the time of Yoshiyahu, of this great Tshuva movement, knowing already that Hashem had decreed, because of Menashe, Yeshayahu's grandfather, Hashem had already decreed the destruction of Malchut Yudah and the Beit HaMikdash. This is where Yirmiyahu is coming in, and then he remains the Navi throughout all of the destruction. One of the things that we could do is look at what happened in Yirmiyahu's life, because one of the big problems that the people of the time had with Yirmiyahu, especially Yehoyakim and Yirmiyahu have many run-ins, but one of the big things was that he preached surrender to Babel, because at this point there was nothing else to do. Whereas the Nevi'im before him said you can fight the enemy, he's coming in and saying you have to give in, and that's treason. So he was not treated very properly. So this brings us to the end of our historical introduction, and next week, Meretz Hashem will jump right in. I want to ask you what you want in terms of, I have two options to go. There are three haftarot that we read before Tisha B'Av that are called the Shlosha D'Nechemta, Shlosha D'Parnuta, the three bad haftarot, and then afterwards you have the Zayin D'Nechemta, the seven good haftarot. But we're heading only, this class is only before Tisha B'Av, the 4 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, so I'm going to stay, I could do one of two things. We could either do, two of those three haftarot are from Yirmiyahu, so we could either do two haftarot, and then the fourth class will be Eicha, or the first class I could do Perek Lamed Aleph of Yirmiyahu, which is the haftarah for Shabbat Shuba, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and then do the other two haftarot from Sefer Yirmiyahu. Does anyone have a preference either way?
You don't want to learn Yirmiyahu.